Hello, hello, friends, and welcome back to Candid with Carrie. I am your host, Carrie Lipper-Gillespie, and welcome. If it's your first time here, well, you are in for a party. If it is, several times you have been here, if you are a returning customer, I'm happy to have you back. I'm excited to dive into another episode with y'all, spend some time with you, entertain you, and educate you. That's always what I aim to do, so buckle up. It's going to be a fun one. This episode is going to be a solo episode because I have a lot of things on my mind that I want to go over to update y'all on. I've been consuming a lot of content lately. There's been a lot going on in the pop culture world. So we have, I think, 5 or 6 trending topics, which is a full plate. And then also, like I said, I just have like a ton of content to update you guys on. I also have a funny story to tell y'all. And also, like I said, I've just been consuming a lot of content and have a lot of thoughts that I want to share with y'all. And I would love to hear your guys' thoughts. I've been posting on the Instagram page for the show, of course, at Candid with Carrie. I've already been posting some of my thoughts. So if you are following that page, you already know what I've been watching probably. And we have started the conversation about some of my thoughts, but we're going to dive in a little bit deeper here. Let's kick it off, first of all, with a good old fashioned rant, you guys, because I have a story to tell y'all, and I want to know if you guys have gone through this situation. I have had the same iPhone for about 2 years now, and that's typically how long I have my iPhones. I'm not one of those people who is extremely techie, and I don't need to have the newest XYZ like as soon as it comes out. That really doesn't bother me. The only real reason why I'm ever motivated to get a new phone is because it has a better camera. And, so getting new tech things like isn't something I look forward to. It's annoying to me to have to like shift all my stuff over and to make sure my iCloud is working properly, blah, 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 blah. Long story short, my iCloud was not working properly, so I had to, you know, pay the 99 cents. You pay 99 cents a month or whatever for extra iCloud storage because I take an insane amount of photos and videos of dogs that are not mine, dogs at the shelter that I spend time with or dogs I see in the street. Yeah, that's me. That is what my phone is comprised of. I also have tons of pictures of my own dogs, then my cat Cedric. I mean, that's basically all that is on my camera, and I am just scared to death to delete a picture because if my cat, you know, if I have the one picture where my cat looks this way and I delete it, I mean, he may never be in that same cute position ever again. So deleting pictures of my animals is just hard for me, and heaven forbid other animals that I never see again. So I had to go through, you know, before I went to the Apple store and make sure my iCloud was in check and all of that good stuff. And honestly, it kind of came out of nowhere that I had to get a new phone because I had been putting off getting a new phone. Like I said, I just don't look forward to the whole process of going to the store and doing all the garbage that you have to do. So I had kind of been putting it off. And then last week, I was going down the fire escape stairs of our apartment building. We live in an apartment building in downtown Kansas City, and my phone fell out of my pocket. I was being lazy with it. I was being clumsy, and it fell a couple stories down the fire escape stairs. And that kind of like was the nail in the coffin. Like the screen broke, and there was this big white slash down the side of the screen. So the screen was not working properly. And I was kind of just like, oh, I can put up with like a couple cracks in the screen. It'll be fine, whatever. But then as the days went on, like my phone started being really fritzy. Like it would randomly call people. Thankfully, it was like, you know, my best friend back home. And I just told her, I'm like, I'm not calling you. Like my phone is just repeatedly calling people, repeatedly like pressing things that I don't want it to press. It was on the fritz 100%. I would have to turn it off and then turn it back on. And it would work for a little bit, and then it would go back to being on the fritz. And I was like, okay, we can't do this anymore. So I made like an emergency appointment at the Apple store. I went there, picked out my new phone, which was like, I just get the same thing that I always get, just like the newest version of it. And of course, you know, supply chain issues, I hear, you know, whatever. But, you know, they were all out of like the phone that I wanted, the, you know, iPhone 13 Pro or whatever. And I specifically wanted the Pro. I didn't want the Max. It's too big for my hand. I can't hold it. I know I will drop it. And then the one below that level was not enough storage that I needed. It didn't have the best camera, and I need a good camera on my phone. So I really did need this specific one. And they're like, oh, we're all out. Like, you can order it and we can ship it to you tomorrow. Like, it'll be at your house tomorrow. And so we were on Verizon ordering it, doing all the things. Well, Verizon had the address mixed up. You know, my shipping address is different from my billing address type of thing. And they were going to send it to my billing address, which is not my shipping address. And you couldn't just change it. You had to call Verizon to do it. And, you know, when you call someplace like Verizon, like you don't talk to a real person for a while. So we're on the phone with Verizon doing that thing, blah, blah, blah. We're halfway through getting that done. And the girl comes out and she's like, oh, we just got a new shipment. Like, here's the phone you need. And I'm like, oh my God, great. So we don't even need to, you know, wait for it to come in the mail. It's right here. So crisis averted, right? We can figure it all out, whatever. And we were going through and doing the work, setting it all up and whatnot. And, you know, it's tricky with these two companies because when you buy a phone from Apple, but then I'm a Verizon customer, you have to like sync it all through their stuff. You have to, you know, from Apple, you know, buy, you know, if you're doing like, you know, payment plan every month or whatever, you have to do it through Apple, but through Verizon. And their systems were not syncing correctly. Like they were having troubles and it was really a Verizon problem. That girl that was at the Apple store was so helpful. She was so tolerant. She went out of her way to do everything. Like, I can't say enough about their customer service. You guys, I was there for 2.5 hours. 2.5 hours I was there. And I was getting to the point where I was, you're just frustrated at that point. You're just like, this was supposed to be a half hour thing. Like, I was going to do other things today. It ended up taking so long. I got to the point where I was hungry and like a little cranky and not a little, guys, kind of a lot. I was trying not to take it out. You know, I wasn't taking it out on the Apple girl because she was great. I was just cranky at the situation. But I was getting hungry. I was annoyed it was taking so long. Like it was just brutal. And I left the store and I was like, oh my God, like a quarter of my day is gone. I don't know about you guys, but I have this very specific time period where I'm like productive. And I think a lot of creative people are like that. Like you have your most creative parts in the day, like in the afternoons. You know, from 3 p.m. on, I'm not even that, like after I eat lunch, honestly, I start to like kind of go downhill. But in the morning when I wake up, like from 8 a.m., you know, I do my stuff at 7 a.m., my morning routine by 8 a.m., I am working 8 a.m. to like noon. I get shit done, you guys. Like that is when I know I have to schedule the bulk of any kind of thing that I am doing because I am focused. I am creative at that time and I am just like zoned in on what I'm doing. After lunch, like it slowly starts to go downhill and it's just like, I'm not saying I can't do anything, but I'm just saying like the quality just isn't near as good. And after I had spent 2.5 hours in this Apple store, I was already frustrated. I was like, oh my gosh, what? Like I wanted to go home and take a nap. I was like, this is exhausting. I was like being an adult, doing adult things. This is maddening. Anyway, I got my new phone. I synced up my iCloud. I did all the things. But then it took a while to, you know, shift it all over to my new phone. I had to leave my two phones there so they could like sync together. I realized that I really needed to delete some of the pictures and videos I had on my phone. I had over 10,000 photos and over 1,000 videos, which is insane. So I spent like 2 hours cleaning out my phone and just deleting old photos, things I didn't need, which is like, it's one of those tedious things like you need to do, but it's just, oh, it's so, like I said, it's such a slog. It's so tedious. I spent like 2 hours doing that. And I was just like, oh, this day has just been like a grind. The whole day was a grind, you guys. I will say it was worth the work though, because my new phone is absolutely gorgeous. I love it. Now that I have like a phone that, you know, is newer, the camera is amazing. There's no cracks in the screen or anything like that. I'm just like, oh my God, this is what royalty feels like. Like I feel so posh just having a new phone with no cracks in it. I felt so motivated and adult-like after that though, that I did some other things too. Like I made an oil change appointment for my car. I made a haircut appointment. I made an appointment for my cat at the vet. Like I did all these things that were so adult of me that I have a tendency to put off for no reason other than I'm just being a turd. So I feel like this is a new leaf I'm turning over, doing the things when they need to be done and not putting them off. So that's where we've arrived at. I would love to know if any of you guys have any horror stories from going to like the Apple store or any kind of tech thing like that. I do in the next couple months. Again, I've been putting it off so bad, but I need a new computer, a new laptop so bad. I've really, really been putting it off. I like in the next 6 months, I just need to pull the trigger and I am like having PTSD just thinking about like going back into that Apple store again to pick out a new computer and like getting everything set up and saying to like I might need to like nap for 2 days before I go there and do it. And then today we wake up to a snowstorm in Kansas City. And I say snowstorm lightly, you guys, because Kansas City gets like, I would say, a moderate amount of snow and the whole city shuts down. I mean, we probably got 4 to 6 inches of snow. And literally everything was closed. Everything was closed today. The city just can't function. And, you know, as someone from Wisconsin, I mean, I remember times in high school, in grade school, we got a foot to 14 inches of snow And school was on. School's on. Get your butt to school. Like, school was never canceled. Things were never canceled. And that's just like the Wisconsin in me, I feel like. But I see 4 to 6 inches and I'm just like, dude, what are we doing? Like, everything is shut down. So I've been kind of getting a little fever pitch, crazy cabin fever, whatever you want to call it, in the house today, because I really have not left. I had an oil change that I was supposed to go to, canceled that, of course. And then I just like had a yoga class I was going to go to. They canceled that. Like, literally everything shuts down. I've been stuck in the house all day. Even my dogs were like, dude, we don't want to go outside. Like, my little dog, Lila, our rescue, she hates the snow. Gatsby likes the snow, but when it gets too cold on his paws, he starts to like limp because it's like too cold for him. And even he was just like, dude, I'm not feeling it. So I have been holed up. The good thing about that is that I've been able to consume a lot of content and I've parked it on the couch. But as I said, it leads to like some cabin fever. And then I start to get a little crabby. And then I start to snack and I start to eat like bad food that tastes good at the moment, but then makes me feel horrible later. Like, I just crushed some barbecue Lay's potato chips. Oh, they were so good. But now I'm like not hungry for dinner. And I'm like, maybe I need to eat a vegetable. Maybe I should mix in a vegetable here or there, you know? I don't know. Just one of those days, you guys. A snow day. The whole city shuts down. I'm just ready. I need structure. I need order. Like, I focus. I operate so much better when I have structure and order to my days. So, you know, having a free snow day, you know, every once in a while is fun, but I miss my structure, you guys. I miss my order. I miss having my tasks, my appointments, my things to do. Like, that is, I feel so Monica right now when Monica's like, rules are fun. Rules control the fun. Like, we need the rules, you know, like, that is my Monica is showing, I swear, which is so weird because I'm really more of a Chandler / Phoebe / a little Rachel. Let's move it right along into some of the content I've been consuming lately because I have some things to update you guys on. Okay, first of all, I finished season 2 of Sweet Magnolias. I told you guys about this show last week and I tried to describe to you what it is, the premise, you know, who would like it, why you might like it, things like that. I had 2 episodes left when we talked last. I definitely just like knocked those out real quick. And I have to say, this show is what it is. Like, I watch it because it is what it is. And the one thing I like about it, though, is that it's moving the plot along. I feel like things are moving along nicely. You know, I hate shows where like you get to the end of the season and you're like, we are literally in the same spot as we were when this season started. Looking at you, Emily in Paris season 2, like, I am so annoyed that that show at the end of season 1 of Emily in Paris season 1, she was in a love triangle and she was going through some things at work. End of season 2, she's in a love triangle and she's still going through some things at work. I'm like, we have not progressed this plot or this character development whatsoever. Like, that is just lazy, like, writing to me. It's so annoying. Sweet Magnolias season 2, they are progressing things. Like, characters are developing, things are changing. We have ended on a cliffhanger, but a new kind of cliffhanger. Like, that is what I want, people. So for that, I am grateful. And for that, I'm gonna keep watching it, of course. Like, it's the lightest, most breeziest thing ever. And it's just so easy to consume. And it is such, like, you know, bubblegum to your spirit, your soul. So it's like, yeah, of course I'm going to keep watching it. The other thing that I am fully caught up on is Pam and Tommy. This show continues to blow my mind. It's really taken, you know, the story to another level in my point of view in the last couple episodes. It's not completely done. I think there is like 2 more episodes left in the miniseries. And we're starting to see more about how the controversy is affecting Pam as a woman and her career. You know, the difference as, you know, how it affected her compared to how it affected Tommy. And it's really, you know, interesting. And I'm really glad that they are taking a peek at this from that perspective because it's diving in a little bit deeper. And I really appreciate that. I'm not going to go into too much more detail about that because, like I said, I still have like 2 more episodes in that have not come out yet. And I think those last 2 episodes will really shape my final feelings about the miniseries as a whole. But I will just say, I am really glad that they are diving in a little bit deeper and looking at it from Pam's point of view and really like turning the lens as to how this whole controversy affected her differently as a woman compared to how it affect Tommy as a guy. So TBD on that, but if you have not started watching that, it's interesting. It's something. The next piece of content that I consumed and everyone is talking about, and it kind of blew my mind, is The Tinder Swindler. And this is on Netflix. It is, you know, a feature film documentary, a feature docuseries type of thing. I think it's like 1.5 hours long, maybe 2 hours tops. I think 1.5 hours. But this absolutely blew my mind. And it is about this gentleman who claims to be like of money, from the Middle East. I think he's from Israel. And he claims to be of money. And he meets women online via Tinder and, you know, wines and dines them and woos them with money and fabulous trips and private planes and cars and all these things. And then he kind of like swindles, of course, the name of the show, swindles them into like giving him money in a really strange way. And when I say it like that, you're going to be like, who the fuck would be that dumb? It's harder than it looks. Like, you got to watch the whole show to really understand like how he's doing this and how he really gets these women on board. And I feel for these women, like in some ways, I'm like, okay, you ignored a lot of red flags there. But in other ways, I'm just like, I mean, there are so many things he was doing that checked out. And so, of course, you wanted to believe him. Of course, you wanted to think that if you borrowed him money, you know, it would be paid back. I mean, he covered his tracks pretty well, but everything he was doing was completely fraudulent. As I said, he made up this huge story about how his family was in the diamond business and it was extremely dangerous and that people were looking for him. He had to keep a low profile. He had to move around quickly and fly from here to there because his enemies were looking for him. And, you know, he needed to get on planes quickly and he needed the money to stay safe and all this other stuff. And this elaborate thing about how his family had all this money and this big business and this and that. And really, he had none of that. Like, his family was from a very like humble place and he had no money and he left his family, his mom, even like the journalists went to where his last known address was. And his mom was like, I haven't seen him in years. Like, we don't talk to him. Like, he disappeared. We know he's doing bad things. Like, we don't want anything to do with him. So it was just the most insane story and kind of mind blowing. And then if that did not, you know, scar me enough, I went on and am currently on to watching Inventing Anna, which is basically the same thing, but a woman, you know, who claimed to be a German heiress and was swindling people, committed, you know, larceny and, you know, swindled her friends and all these other people out of, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars and, you know, was kind of living this double life, robbing Peter to pay Paul. It was a huge Ponzi scheme. She was trying to get this huge loan and do this big foundation. She wanted to start this foundation called the Anna Delvey Foundation and, you know, was really like just everything she said was fake and false. She just kind of weaseled her way into the upper echelon of like Manhattan socialite life and lived this complete lie, which is absolutely insane. I mean, I still have two episodes left in the show. It is a Shonda Rhimes show, so it's very Shonda-esque. And I'm, again, the whole Tinder swindler and the, you know, Anna Delvey of it all is like really having me question like anything I see on like TV or social media lately. I see like someone post something and I'm just like, oh, are we sure that's not a lie? Like any influencer, if, you know, quote unquote famous person I see, I'm just like, are we sure? You know? I will point out the Tinder Swindler was a docuseries, so, you know, it was told, you know, in a documentary form. Inventing Anna is a series, you know, so there are actors. It's not a docuseries. It stars Julia Garner from Ozark, from Waco. She plays Anna Delvey. It also stars Anna Klemski as Vivian, who is like the journalist who is telling this story. And who else does it star? Laverne Cox, Katie Lowes, like it stars a whole bunch of people. Anders Holm is in it as Vivian's husband. So a lot of really great actors, a lot of well-known actors. And I will say the acting is pristine. Julia Garner is absolutely, I believe, like one of the best, like most talented women in Hollywood right now. I mean, if you look at what she plays as Ruth in Ozark and then what she plays as Anna Delvey in this show and then what she played in Waco, like they could not all be more opposite from one another. And she pulls them off so brilliantly. I think she is incredibly talented and I'm so blown away by her and her acting and just the acting as a whole. Anna Klemski, who, you know, is of Veep fame, which I've never seen Veep, but she is a great actor. Laverne Cox, amazing. Like, the acting is great. You know, the writing is very Shonda-esque. They have to be careful telling stuff, you know, stories like this, because this is a true story. Anna Delvey is a real person. And when you take a real story and turn it into a scripted series of some sort, you have to tell the story, but you have to figure out who you're telling the story through. And how they're telling this story is through Anna Klemski's character, who is the journalist Viv. So it's all just really fascinating to me. This story as a whole is crazy. And the way these two people truly, you know, made up lives, like literally their entire existence was false and fabricated and just completely made up. I will say, at least Anna Delvey, like she was really trying to do something. Like she was trying to start this thing called the Anna Delvey Foundation, which is a horrible name, I think, for what she was trying to build. She was basically trying to build like a newer, like more artist-friendly version of Soho House. But like, can you imagine the Soho House being called like Bob Richards Foundation? You know what I mean? Like that's just, it's not an artistic name whatsoever. So the fact that she wanted to name it after herself was really strange to me when it was really supposed to be like a social place. But that was her thing. She was really trying to build that. And she wanted to work. Like she loved to work. She was trying to be an entrepreneur. She was just, you know, lying and fabricating, you know, bank statements and things like that, you know, to do it. So she was trying to do something. She was doing it illegally, but the Tinder swindler was not doing anything. Like he was not working. He was just stealing money from women who, you know, he got to trust him and living this insane lifestyle and like not working or doing anything at all. Like at least Anna Delvey was like trying to fucking build something. All right, y'all, that is going to do it for our content updates. I told you guys I was consuming a lot of content. I was not lying. Let's move it right along to our trending topics of the week. Holy cow, we have a lot to talk about. Oh, do we ever. Let's dive in first to our Super Bowl stories. All right, so the Super Bowl was this past weekend in Los Angeles, California at SoFi Stadium. And strangely, coincidentally enough, the Los Angeles Rams were there competing against the Cincinnati Bengals. So they essentially had a home game for the Super Bowl. That does not happen very often. They ended up winning. Of course, it was a crazy game. I do think they were the better team, but I really kind of wanted Joe Burrow to pull out the upset. Nonetheless, the Los Angeles Rams won. You know, the game, the actual turnout of the game is like the most minute thing we have to talk about. Let's get on first to talking about some of the stars in attendance. The Super Bowl is a big deal for celebrity sightings in general, but the fact that it was in LA and an LA team was playing, I mean, this was like a star-studded event. There were so many celebrities there. Let me just name a few. All right, buckle in. Devin Booker and Kendall Jenner were there with Jay Biebs and Hailey Biebs. Prince Harry was there with his cousin, Princess Eugenie. J-Lo and Ben Affleck were there. The Rock, Drake, Will Ferrell, Ryan Reynolds, Sean Penn, Mark Wahlberg, LeBron James, Ellen DeGeneres and her wife, Portia de Rossi, Chris Tucker, Shawn Mendes and Niall Horan, Charlize Theron, Tracy Morgan, Chip and Joanna Gaines, Rebel Wilson, Billie Jean King, Jay-Z, Lizzo, Katy Perry and Orlando Bloom, Martha Stewart, Cardi B and Offset, Doja Cat, Usher, Christina Aguilera, Megan Thee Stallion, Alex Rodriguez, Issa Rae, Kanye West and Tyga, The Weeknd, Olivia Rodrigo, Kevin Hart, Joe Jonas and Sophie Turner. And you know what? I am sure that I missed someone, but that is some of the biggest names of the people that I spotted there, both during the game, they had the cameras out in full force, but then people who were posting on social media. So yeah, there was just celebrities on celebrities on celebrities there, like literally every which direction. It was just a who's who. That does not even count. Like I did not even name all of the influencers that were there. All of the like D-list celebrity, you know, reality TV stars that were there, like Chrishell and Emma from Selling Sunset were there. Like there were tons and tons of, you know, A-list to like D-list celebs there. Let's talk now about some of the performances that happened. Country music singer Mickey Guyton sang the national anthem. It was beautiful. She is amazing. I think she was a great pick for that job. The halftime show featured Dr. Dre, Kendrick Lamar, Snoop Dogg, Mary J. Blige, Eminem, and a surprise guest called 50 Cent. I think overwhelmingly people really enjoyed the halftime show. And I have to agree, I think it was really well done. I am notoriously not very impressed with the Super Bowl halftime show. I thought The Weeknd's halftime show last year was not good. The theatrics of it all, like the camera, him running through like a really lit up box was like giving me like headaches. Like it wasn't it for me. And Super Bowl performances tend to not be it for me. Like the last one I really remember leaving an impression on me was when I was in college and I think it was Beyonce. Absolutely like killed it. I remember that one. I remember being impressed about that one. But other than that, like I really like the Super Bowl performance dances, like they don't ever do it for me. It doesn't do it. But this did. I thought that this was a really fun choice. You know, all of these people are, you know, quote unquote, of the older generation. You know, a lot of times they tend to pick someone who's really hot right now because they attract the younger crowd. And a lot of times they tend to pick someone who's in the pop, you know, top 40 sphere of music. These guys are all like rap, R&B, like old school. Like I think that was really great. And you could see that in the performance. They really made it very Los Angeles centric, and they really made it very, you know, African-American culture centric. I mean, besides Eminem, like every one of the performers and every one of the backup dancers up there, of which there were, you know, probably hundreds of backup dancers, were all African-American or people of color. So they really made that a point. And then, of course, Eminem, like I said, the only white person that was up there, he did his performance and then, you know, very notably took a knee at the end of his performance. So I think that that spoke something. And I think that they were really trying to highlight and amplify Black culture and Black voices during this entire performance, both national anthem and halftime. I thought Snoop Dogg looked so cool. Like he was wearing like a sweatsuit, like a tracksuit. I was kind of like, Snoop, we can't wear anything better. But like, no, he was wearing like a coordinated tracksuit. I think the Dr. Dre looked so good. I don't know his age off the top of my head, but he looks fabulous. Like looked like he was in great shape. Mary J. Blige, speaking of people who looked like they were in great shape, she looked so good. The outfit that she was wearing, like those thigh high boots. Oh my gosh, she looked stunning. Honestly, it never looked better. I love her. I wish we kind of got more of her, honestly. Like I wanted more of her music. I love Mary J. Blige. She's probably like the one that I know the most of her music from. Eminem's performance was great. Like it fit right into, you know, the vibe they were going for. 50 Cent's performance also fit into the vibe that they were going for. He was a special guest. They did not, you know, announce ahead of time that he was going to be there. He came into, you know, his set or whatever, hanging upside down, which like took me a little bit to understand what was going on and who he was. But as soon as they started playing the song, figured it out. We put two and two together and it ended up being all right. It was good to go. Overall, I thought it was great. I think they really made a statement, and I think that they did what they wanted to do. Moving on now to the commercials part of the evening. Honestly, I didn't pay that much attention to the commercials, which is really weird for me because I have an advertising, marketing, journalism background. And typically that's my favorite part. But for some reason, I just could not be bothered this year. I will say there was a Seth Rogen and Paul Rudd commercial that I think it was like a Lay's commercial or something. But I really enjoyed that one. I thought it was funny and witty. And I just love Paul Rudd. Maybe that's it. But a lot of these commercials, they're so over the top and ridiculous that it's like they have try hard energy. The, you know, name of the game is just getting like the biggest, most ridiculous, you know, amount of celebrities you can in each commercial and going from that. And that usually doesn't do it for me anymore. There was one with Eugene Levy that was like a car commercial. Again, maybe it's just because I love Eugene Levy, but I thought that one was pretty inventive. And then there was also one with Uber Eats that had the most random like group of celebrities. It had like Cousin Greg. It had Jennifer Coolidge. Like it just had the most random, but also awesome, you know, group of celebrities like in different scenes. And I really thought that one was witty and funny. And I think it was just the people that they picked to be in that commercial. So those are the ones that I really remember off the top of my head being memorable. But as I said, overall, as a whole, I couldn't be bothered with the commercials, you guys. I was just really over it. Let's move on to our next story, which is some Winter Olympics updates. I'm sure you guys have heard about this story coming out of the figure skating world, which is just a little bit crazy, but let's dive into it a little more. So there is a 15-year-old Russian figure skater who, you know, failed a drug test for a specific substance. And there was all this controversy about if she was going to be able to compete, you know, because she failed this drug test or she turned in positive for a specific substance that is considered performance enhancing and she is not allowed to have in her system. So there was this controversy over if she was going to be able to compete. The Olympic Committee reviewed it and they let her compete. Now, this is where the story keeps going. So let's dive in a little bit more. The 15-year-old prodigy and gold medal favorite made several errors in her routine, momentarily hitting the ice twice as she missed out on the podium. She ended up finishing fourth, which is a big deal because, like I just said, she was really expected to win it all. So she placed fourth in the competition, which has been engulfed in scandal surrounding her positive drug test before the Winter Games. This entire story is just really strange. That's like the best way to put it, because she failed a drug test, but for some reason she was still allowed to compete, which is just strange to me, especially when we saw, you know, an American, you know, track star in the previous Olympics, in those Summer Olympics, who tested positive for marijuana, was not able to compete. So it's just like, I guess, you know, with a drug test, it's like a pregnancy test. Like there's two answers. Like it's either right or wrong. Like it's either yes or no. You're either pregnant or you're not. Like with a drug test, it's like you either pass or you fail. And like if you fail, you don't compete. Like that's against the rules. Like there's no middle ground, you know? So that's why I'm confused that people are like, oh, they went to the committee and the committee decided that she could still compete. And it's like, but the test, like she got the one answer wrong. Like, how do you still let her compete when the only answer to this test that you have to pass to compete, she got wrong? So it's confusing and strange. And part of me feels bad for her because she's 15 and she's a minor. And I feel like adults led her astray in some way. And, you know, I'm not saying that they poured something down her throat or whatever happened, but I'm just saying, like, she's a literal child. She can't even drive a car legally, you know, in this country. And, you know, there's all this pressure being put on her. And obviously it got to her in her competition. Like, it's so much for a young girl to go through. And then to have this all put in the media, to have so many people have opinions about it, to just, as I said, kind of be led astray by, you know, the people she entrusted, is crazy. And the fact that she's Russian and the Russians are, you know, notably not taking part in this competition in the Olympics, as, you know, the Russians, they have their own, you know, thing that they formed, the ROC, the Russian Olympic Committee, because Russia as a whole, like their Olympic team was like doing a doping scandal. Like they were running a doping ring for their athletes. So the country as a whole wasn't allowed to compete. And then these athletes who still wanted to be able to formed their own committee, the ROC. So like that in and of a whole is just like really sad and strange and confusing. And just there's so much going on to this story. And I just really feel for her. There were a lot of people saying that, you know, as she left the ring from, you know, doing her routine, there was so much emotion. She, you know, put her head in her hands and she was really emotional. And I feel for her because, like I said, she's literally just a child, just a young girl. It's actually funny because Tara Lipinski, who, you know, was previously back in the day a Olympic figure skater, is now an analyst for NBC. And she, you know, had a comment, a quote that I really resonated with and agreed with. She said, quote, "It makes me angry that the adults around her weren't able to make better decisions." She went on to say that she should not have been able to skate in this event. And I completely agree with what Lipinski is saying. I think this is the adults around her that failed her. And I just feel bad that this is falling on her shoulders when I really don't think it should have. All right, y'all, let's move on to story number three. A host has been named for the 2022 Academy Awards. Or should I say hosts? Regina Hall, Amy Schumer, and Wanda Sykes will host the 94th Oscars on March 27th. It has been 35 years since as many as three people hosted Hollywood's biggest night, and never have that many women held the MC position in a single evening. The Hollywood Reporter reported last week that there would be three hosts of the telecast, which is being produced by Will Packer and directed by Glenn Weiss. They also confirmed that each host will anchor a separate hour of the show, with Amy Schumer leading things off. The trio were formally announced on Good Morning America this past Tuesday morning, with Schumer making a brief statement saying, quote, "I'm not sure who thought this was a good idea, but I am hosting the Oscars along with Wanda Sykes and Regina Hall. I better go watch some movies." I think this might be the longest that we have waited for there to be an announcement of who is hosting the Oscars. The Oscars is, of course, the biggest award show for movies, you know, of the entire year. So it's a big deal. It's a big honor to get, you know, picked to host that. That being said, it's not an easy job. You guys know how I feel about when they pick hosts and who they pick to do this. And I reported on this last week or the week before, I can't remember, but I wasn't sure who they were going to pick. And I really, you know, had a couple ideas. I think I mentioned Leslie Jones, and I stand by the fact that I think she would be a great Oscars host. Like, I am manifesting this in the future for her because she would be hilarious. I do think comedians do a good job of hosting because that is, you know, kind of their job. I think that when we have, you know, actors do it, you know, in the past, no offense to actors, but that doesn't tend to be as good. Like, comedians tend to do a good job. That being said, like, we don't want to see another, like, old white guy up there, old white guy comedian. No offense to all the Jimmys, but like we're done with it, we're sick of it. And so I love the fact that they picked women and two women of color and just women as a whole. Like, I think that's great. I think all of these women are really talented, really funny, and will do a good job. I guess I'm most excited to see Wanda Sykes because she is particularly hilarious. But I think as a whole, they will all do a really good job. And I just like this creative approach. I'm looking forward to watching this. I love the Oscars. Of course, I can't wait for the fashion. So we shall see. As I said, it is going to be March 27th. So, you know, hang on tight. A little bit over a month. Moving on to our next story that just recently broke, Aaron Rodgers and Shailene Woodley have reportedly called off their engagement. The actress and the NFL MVP have called off their engagement after nearly 2 years together, In Touch Weekly reported on Wednesday. A source close to Rodgers said that the breakup was amicable, adding that they are very different people with busy careers and there are obstacles that they couldn't surmount. They will remain friendly and there's no bad blood or drama. They just didn't work out. Now, there has been speculation about these two for a couple months now. Here and there, I have heard things, you know, they're on the rocks or this or that or the other thing. She was not in Green Bay. I never saw her at a game. I think that if she was there, it would have, you know, made the press somehow. There would have been a picture, you know, somewhere, whether it was, you know, CBS or Fox got her on camera or just some average Joe saw her at the game. Like, someone would have seen her at a game. There was never reports of her ever being at a game or being in Green Bay. Rodgers recently won the NFL MVP award for the second year in a row and, you know, accepted his honor. He never mentioned her or anything like that, which is, you know, strange considering last year, you know, in his NFL MVP speech when he won last year, that's how we found out he got engaged was, you know, he just slipped it in there that he had a fiance and he was engaged. So there hasn't been any mention of her. They have not been spotted together at all. Like, so rumors have been swirling about these two for a while. And I've heard varied things from different sources, from Des Moines, of course, and then just from other people in the Wisconsin sphere. And I'm not surprised to hear that they broke up. I really do think that this means, this is my conspiracy theory, that he is going to be staying in Green Bay, that he is trying to stay in Green Bay, and that he will. And this is why. Because I think that if he were going to leave, if he was going to go to another team, they would try and stick it out and see if they could make it work. Because let's be real, there are not a lot of flights into Green Bay. Like, that is a small market town, like a small market team. It's not a big town. Like, it's not simple for her to get on a flight and go to Green Bay, Wisconsin to see him, you know, during the NFL season. But if he was going to Seattle or Denver or Tampa Bay, like, those are much bigger cities. Like, it's much easier to fly into those airports and to, like, start a life there or to, you know, fly in for the weekend, fly out, blah, blah, blah. Like, I really think that if there were a chance, you know, that he was going to go somewhere else, that they would have tried and stuck it out to see if they could make it work somewhere else. But, you know, the fact that they broke up and that the, you know, the reasoning was that they're just busy and they can't see each other and their careers are this and that. And then, you know, the other thing, like, I really believe, like, there's something in my gut telling me that means he's going to stay in Green Bay. Fingers crossed, of course, there's no scientific evidence behind this. I just have a feeling that that means that he's really, really trying to stay. And I really hope he does. You guys know I love Aaron Rodgers. And I think that he deserves another championship here. Our next story is a little bit of Pete Davidson drama. There has been so much going on with Pete and Kim and Kanye. And honestly, it's been hard to keep up with it all because it changes every 2 seconds. Kanye posts something and then deletes it from his Instagram and then posts something, deletes it, blah, 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 blah. Like, I can't keep up with it. I'm not going to go into too much detail about that on the podcast because it would just, I mean, we would need hours, literally hours to talk about it all. I have been covering most of it on the show's Instagram. So if you're not following over there, go check that out because I have been keeping more up to date with that there. I'm just not going to dive into it a ton here on the pod. But the biggest news I have to report is that Pete has rejoined Instagram. Pete Davidson has officially rejoined Instagram for the fourth time since ditching the social media platform in 2018. A new profile featuring Instagram's verified blue checkmark for Davidson's went live on Wednesday, just days after Kanye West took to the platform to bombard the stand-up with insults in an effort to win back his ex and Davidson's current girlfriend, Kim Kardashian. The brand spanking new page under the Instagram handle at PMD currently has 1.5 million followers and is following exactly two people, Kim Kardashian, of course, and Sebastian Stan. Now, Pete has long had a really complicated relationship with Instagram. He has been on it before and then left and been on it and left and been on it and left. I think he's been on it and left a total of four times. And he tends to come back on it when he has something big coming out that he needs to promote, which makes tons of sense. But he has definitely said at other times that it has been toxic for his mental health and that he really just knows that, you know, that it's not a good place for him to be, and he's chosen to take himself off of it. One of the quotes that he said about leaving before was, quote, "The internet is an evil place and it doesn't make me feel good. Why should I spend any time on negative energy when my real life is fucking lit? The fact that I even have to say it proves my point. I love you all and I'm sure I'll be back at some point. Your neighborhood goon, Pete." So one of the things I really love and appreciate about Pete is that he's always been open about his mental health struggles. He has, you know, been open about the fact that he lives with a bipolar disorder and that his mental health, you know, goes up and down. He's very much like a normal person in the fact that he has mental health struggles. And all too often we see that with some of the most funny people ever created. Robin Williams, you know, is the first one that comes to mind. Chris Farley, like these people who are so funny and so gifted, like have some really dark places in them, and their humor is a way to kind of self-medicate or to get away from those dark places. And he's been honest about that. So for his sake, I hope that he can approach it from a healthy spot. It's not a surprise that maybe he's joining now to defend himself against some of the stuff that Kanye's doing. I'm really over what Kanye is doing both to Pete and to Kim. It's not like funny anymore, and it's harassment. Like, I was going to say it's borderline harassment. Like, it's not borderline anymore. He is literally harassing her in a way that, like, I would probably put a restraining order on him if I were her. Like, if I were a regular person and an ex was doing this to me, like, I would get the law enforcement involved. Like, I would not feel comfortable. And the way he is talking about Pete, the way he is, you know, saying things about him, the things he is posting about him are just, like I said, it's not borderline harassment. It is harassment. So, you know, maybe he's, you know, reactivated his account to have some kind of semblance, like some kind of say in what is going on. I'm not sure. But I hope it can be a decent place for him. I hope it's something that he can approach like with a calm mind, and it's not something that, you know, eats away at him or has some kind of negative effect on him. This Kanye stuff is so insane. You guys, he's in deep. You guys, he's in deep, and he needs someone to help him. I think he has a lot of yes people in his life, and there's no one there to call him out and to be like, dude, you're fucking, like, you've crossed lines. Not even just one line. You haven't crossed the line. You've crossed like 25 lines, and dude, you gotta rein it in, because this is gonna like negatively affect you, your relationship with your children, and the time and custody that you get with them moving forward in your divorce. And if you don't care about that, then fine, fucking keep doing what you're doing. But if you care at all about seeing your kids, spending time with your kids, and what they're going to see on the internet when they get older, like, fucking stop. Anyway, I could go on a huge tangent about that. I will leave it at that. I just think it's really sad. And I think what he is doing to Kim and to Pete is not acceptable. Moving on to something else that was also not acceptable, but here's the light at the end of the tunnel. Britney Spears has been invited to speak at Congress about conservatorships. Britney Spears revealed that she received a letter inviting her to speak to Congress about her controversial conservatorship that birthed the hashtag Free Britney movement. She shared a picture of the letter that she received on Instagram, and she posted, quote, "I received this letter a few months ago, an invitation to share my story. I was immediately flattered, and at the time, I wasn't nearly at the healing stage I'm at now." She goes on to write that she was grateful that her experience was even acknowledged and that the letter gave her validation. "I felt heard and like I mattered for the first time in my life. In a world where your own family goes against you, it's actually hard to find people that get it and show empathy. Again, I'm not here to be a victim, though. I'm the first to admit that I'm pretty messed up by it all. I want to help others in vulnerable situations take life by the balls and be brave." Dang, Britney. Wow. This is the year of Britney, you guys. I am, you know, proclaiming it. I'm eagerly awaiting what she's going to do. She's been teasing some things on her Instagram, her Instagram is always just like a hoot to watch. Like, it's just never a dull moment there. I think this is great. I mean, we heard when she spoke in court about her experience in the conservatorship, we were all blown away by how articulate she was, by how emotional and how, you know, just, you know, she shook everyone to the core by her, you know, her statement of what it was like to be in this conservatorship, to be under her father's thumb while he was making millions of dollars off of her. Like, you know, we were all so taken aback by her testimony in court. So I think that it's amazing that they asked her to speak about this. She's the, you know, first and foremost, like the person who would know the most. As I've talked about before, I've talked a lot about Free Britney and everything that went into that. But conservatorships are not typically, you know, carried out by people like her. People like her are typically not put in conservatorships, and they're typically not put in them for 13 years. Like, if they are put in them, it's for a brief period of time, and then, you know, they're able to go on with their lives. But the fact that she was such a high functioning person and was still in one 13 years later is absolutely insane. And there's definitely a hole in the system. You know, the system of government, like the system of healthcare, like the system of welfare, like all of these systems that we have put in place, like they're great. They're helpful. They help people when they need them. But there are holes in them. 100% there are holes in them. And this perfectly indicates where the hole in the entire conservatorship system, where our law system is, how we uphold these, how we check in with them. Like, there's a hole in it. Brittany is the person to definitely bring attention to it. So I hope that she goes through with it. I hope that, you know, we're able to hear what she says and to hear her wisdom and to learn from what she's been through, because this has just been something. I'll tell you that much. Hashtag Brittany freed, you guys. Brittany freed. Whew. You guys, what an episode. Holy cow, that was a lot of me talking. Hopefully you are not sick of my voice by now, but I kind of am, so I think we're going to wrap it up there. If you are not already, make sure you head to Instagram and follow the show's Instagram there. It is at Candid with Carrie. You can also follow my personal page, which is at carrie.gillespie. All the fun things are going on in both those places, so make sure you check them out. If you are enjoying the show, it would mean the absolute world to me if you went to Apple Podcasts or Spotify and left the show a 5-star rating and wrote a review about why you like the show. That kind of stuff is absolutely just like a warm hug to me, and I appreciate each and every one of the reviews. I read them all. I smile ear to ear. It is like just dopamine, serotonin, all the things just rush to me. So it would mean the absolute world to me, and it just really helps the show grow. Thank you so much for being here this week. It is not lost upon me that your time is valuable, and it means the world to me that you want to hang out with me. I will be back again next week. We will be back to doing our regular formatted shows. We will have an interview. We will have all the good things. So be back here next week, same time, same place. In the meantime, make good choices and be kind to one another. Bye, candies.